This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. That's Bruce Springsteen playing with the E Street Band, the intro to his song, You Can Look, But You Better Not Touch. There are many times in life where you look and you get disgusted by something and you know you shouldn't touch it. In fact, you probably shouldn't have looked at it in the first place because it's just disgusting. Well, disgust is what my next guest studies for a living. Her name is Valerie Curtis. She's the director of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine and the author of the new book, Don't Look, Don't Touch, Don't Eat, The Science Behind Revulsion. Valerie, welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning to you.
It's a pleasure having you on the show here. You write in this book that disgust is the forgotten emotion. How so?
It's one of the most fascinating emotions, one of the most interesting and one of the most powerful emotions we have. But I guess because it's something that pushes us away, something that is involved with nasty, filthy, dirty stuff, we kind of don't like to think about it very much. So, you know, in everyday life, we don't think about it very much. And unfortunately, psychologists don't think about it very much either. So it hasn't been very much studied. But just over the last 10 years, suddenly there's been a realization that this is a very rich and ripe area for research. And so now there is actually a pile of work coming out, and the field is quite hot now.
Okay, so how do you study disgust? I picture you in a room full of Petri dishes with maggots and pus.
Okay, not quite like that. I'm an anthropologist, so my interest in disgust really began with my work in lots of different countries around the world, and I was trying to understand hygiene behavior, because hygiene behavior is our first line of defense against infectious diseases. And as you know, maybe 1 million kids a year die from infectious diseases in developing countries. It's we've cracked the problem where much better in our sorts of countries, but we need to understand how best to get people to avoid disease. Now, hygiene is one of the first lines of defense against disease, so I was trying to understand it, and people kept telling me about all of these things that, you know, they would wash their hands when they got dirty, when they got smelly things on them, when they touched something yucky, when they'd come into contact with parasites or horrible things like that, and that was what was making them wash their hands. And so I was kind of really puzzled about all of this, many things that people kept telling me were disgusting, but didn't kind of add up into a coherent story about why. I mean, people would say kissing was disgusting, and I said, you know, why? And they couldn't explain it to me. People would say, you know, finding a mouse in your curry was disgusting, but they couldn't tell me why. So that's what set me on the trail of trying to figure it out.
So, and in figuring it out, did you find that it is just a simple, basic human emotion? It's obviously not something we all share, because I may be disgusted by things that you find perfectly okay.
Well, I would like to bet that you and I are pretty much disgusted by the same things, because our findings from all around the world suggest that there's 7 categories of things that everybody finds disgusting. Now, you know, anthropologists have often spent a lot of time looking at the things that are different from culture to culture. Well, what's amazing really about disgust is it's the same from culture to culture. There isn't that much difference. So think about bodily fluids. Think about stuff that comes out of you, you know, stuff that comes out of your rear end, stuff that maybe you spit out. Maybe if you've got an infected wound or something like that, I think you and everybody in the world would score those as pretty. Vomit, for example, would score those as pretty highly disgusting. And if you see somebody who is really unhygienic, somebody who doesn't clean the toilet after they've been in there, for example, or leaves smelly, dirty hankies around, having used them, for example, you would find that you, like me, would almost certainly label that person as disgusting. So people who are unhygienic. And what about foods that have gone off, or maybe, you know, seeing maggots in food? I'm sure you're you're probably equally. I mean, I'm a disgustologist, and I still find this stuff turns my stomach. And I'm sure the same applies to you. It certainly applies to our respondents in the studies we've done all over the world. It's the same sorts of things. There's some small differences from culture to culture. So, for example, in India, we found that everyone found rats disgusting, but in the Netherlands, rats were seen as sweet little pets. But, you know, you can imagine a mom showing a rat to a child for the first time, and the mom in India is going, look at this filthy rat. It's sitting on a pile of rubbish. It's transmitting plague. You know, how disgusting. And the child then learns to be disgusted by it, whereas a mom in the Netherlands or in America perhaps might go, oh, look at the sweet little pet. Isn't it nice? And so the kid doesn't learn the disgust by association. Because, I mean, I get what's really interesting about disgust is that though we have an innate emotion that is the voices of our ancestors saying, look, stay, oh, don't look, don't touch, don't eat, stay away from these things that might have made your ancestors sick, it's innate in the sense that it teaches us what to learn. So we have a predisposition to learn to be disgusted by poo. I mean, every child learns to be potty trained by about the age of 2 or 3 in every culture in the world. We all healthily learn to avoid fecal material. But it's not you're not born with that. It's something that you learn. And, you know, if your mom tried to make you disgusted by biscuits or sweets or flowers, it wouldn't work. So it's a guide to what to learn to be disgusted by.
What about people who, when I was growing up, I had a friend who was disgusted if the food on his plate touched. You know, if he was having 3 things on his plate, if they touched each other, he would not eat that. Oh, that's disgusting. I can't eat that because I touched that thing. That's not quite the same as, you know, oh, somebody vomited and now that's on the floor. Obviously, it's not in the same department, but does it fall under the disgust umbrella?
Right. Well, try and explain in the book the interesting thing about disgust is you have this underlying set of rules of things that you find disgusting. So, for example, contamination, having come into contact with something that is disgusting, you have that thing. If I for example, do a little trick on my students, I carry a plastic poo around with me, and sometimes I'll put it in the plate of biscuits, and then people will go, oh, I won't eat the biscuit. So contamination is one of those fundamental, but of course, everybody is different as well. Everybody has a different life story, and also, you know, a bit like most people are in the middle when you talk about height. Well, most people are in the middle when you talk about disgust, but some people have got very highly developed sense of disgust, and that makes their life very difficult. So your friend maybe has a very highly develop sense of contamination disgust, and then some people have a very low sense of disgust. And actually, being around people with a low sense of disgust is extremely difficult because, you know, if you someone in your house who is unhygienic, and you have to live with them, it's the first sign, in fact, that a marriage is breaking down, that love is breaking down, when you start to notice the smelly feet of your partner, or the smelly armpits, or the toilet habits of your partner. Because love fights disgust. They're almost opposites.
But it also sounds to me like your work may have come to the conclusion that disgust has helped us with evolution.
So if you think about our great ancestors, and I mean way back, I mean actually right back to primates and other animals, we're quite comfortable with the idea that, you know, if our great ancestors went and embraced saber-toothed tigers, they weren't going to be very successful at passing on their genes. So all of our ancient ancestors have a very strong sense of fear. And that is what keeps us safe now from not sort of walking into the paths of lions or snakes.
Yep.
Or under cars, for example. Well, disgust is really similar. What it does is it prevents us from being eaten up from inside by tiny predators, which are actually parasites. So if you think about the very ancient past, every single animal is prey to loads and loads and loads of parasites. There's many more species of parasites than there are free-living animals, if you include microbes and all the worms and all the different insects that are parasites. So every animal needs an instinct to stay away from parasites. So if your great ancestor had gone around going, ooh, yummy poo, ooh, delicious, ooh, a glass of urine, give me some. Sorry about this, it's breakfast time, I know. if your ancestors loved those things, then they wouldn't have mated very successfully, and their children would have been unhealthy and would have died out. So those people aren't your ancestors. The ones who are your ancestors are the ones with a healthy squeamishness. They're the mm-hmm. ones who have a healthy sense of disgust, and they've passed that down to you, and that's why you stay away from food that's gone off, for example, or stuff in the toilet, etc.
It's not just survival of the fittest; it's survival of the most disgusted. I love
that's
it.
Right.
The book is called "Don't Look, Don't Touch, Don't Eat: The Science Behind Revulsion." Valerie Curtis, director of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Good luck with the book. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Paul Harris. America Weekend.